Welcome to the Bone Coach Show, dedicated to helping you understand all things related to diet, lifestyle, bone health, and how you can live and thrive with low bone density and osteoporosis. I'm your host, Kevin Ellis, certified health coach, health and wellness speaker, and above all else, your bone coach. After being diagnosed with osteoporosis in my early 30s, I transformed my health through diet and lifestyle and now help my clients and community members do the same through my online coaching practice, BoneCoach.com. Look, there are no quick and easy cures for low bone density, but the choices we make every single day can have a powerful impact on our bones, our health, and our general well-being. I'll share the research, interview the experts, and help you figure out how to get the conditions right in your body so you can better your bones through diet and lifestyle. Short disclaimer, I'm not a medical doctor and this show should not be considered medical advice. Always consult with your healthcare team before making medical decisions and changes to your diet and lifestyle. With that being said, let's get on with the show.
There's some people for whom the signal from the gut to the brain is too slow. And so when they're eating their food, they've eaten their meal, the plate is empty, but they now need to go to the pot at the stove and keep going because they can't get full. There's some people for whom their palate can't get satisfied. And we find this disrupts sleep because these are the people that are grazing at the pantry all night, cookie and then chips and then juice and then fruit, and then they need all that stuff to get satisfied. And then they put themselves into metabolic hell and the insulin is spiking at a time it's not supposed to, and it disrupts their sleep. And it's perceived as real hunger, like a need. So we've learned how to hack it. If your brain, as a survival mechanism, is looking for all this variety, then just give it. After your meal is done, have a little piece of fruit, a piece of cheese, dark chocolate, a nut, crunchy, soupy, salty, sour, all the variety you can think of, and hack your brain into getting satisfied.
If you haven't done so already, especially if you're newly diagnosed with osteopenia or osteoporosis, or if your most recent bone density scan still showed more bone loss, go ahead and pause this episode and head over to BoneCoach.com to sign up for your free 7-day osteoporosis kickstart guide. That's going to give you everything you need step by step by step over the next 7 days to get on the path to improvement and stronger bones. You won't want to miss that. So pause this right now, head over to BoneCoach.com, and I'll be here as soon as you get back. Welcome to this episode of the Bone Coach Show. Joining us today to explore genetics, osteoporosis, and my personal DNA explained is Kashif Khan. Kashif Khan is Chief Executive Officer and founder of the DNA Company, where personalized medicine is being pioneered through unique insights into the human genome. With the largest study of its kind globally, the DNA Company has developed a functional approach to genomic interpretation overlaying environment, nutrition, and lifestyle on the genetic blueprint to create personalized and deterministic health outcomes. He has since made it his mission to build the DNA Company into a business that has an impact and whose success is measured not in dollars, but in lives improved. Kashif, it's great to have you here today.
Pleasure, man. Great to be with you.
I'm looking forward to this conversation because we are going to talk about a big topic, especially as it relates to bone health and osteoporosis, yeah, which are genetics. So many people come to me and they always ask this question, you know, my mother had osteoporosis, my aunt or somebody in my family had issues with their bone health. Is this my destiny? Is this my fate? You know, is there anything I can do? And I think what we've all come to realize is there's a lot that can be done, and that starts with your genetics. So maybe we could talk about, if you wouldn't mind sharing a little bit more about your background and how the DNA Company came to be and how you took in this fascination with our genes.
So what you just said is what happened to me, that I had a chronic condition. It wasn't a bone health problem. I actually had five chronic conditions. I had psoriasis, eczema, gut issues. I had horrible migraines. That was the worst part of it all. And then depression issues. And, you know, so all of this stuff kind of hit me all at the same time. And my question to these five different doctors giving me five different pills was, why? Why all of a sudden, what did I do wrong? That was the logical question. I had never really dealt with healthcare before, and I couldn't get that answer. So the answer was more like, this is what it's called, and this is the pill you have to take, and five different versions of that, right? So ultimately, that put me down this rabbit hole of discovering functional medicine and learning how my body actually works and understanding that, yes, there are choices you can make that bring you towards or away from health. And then I started to learn that those choices aren't the same for all of us. So the big aha moment for me was that I was actually disappointed by genetic testing because it was, you know, hey, you got an 80% chance of Alzheimer's and a 60% chance of prostate cancer. And what do I do with that information other than have anxiety and just wait and see? You know, is that really all? And so I started to learn that the genome, really what it's doing is it's instructing all these jobs that your body does. So every little micro job that your cell has to do, there's a human instruction manual that's called your genetic code that tells your body how to do those jobs. And if you understand how to read the instruction manual, you can see which jobs aren't happening properly. And then it's not so much about 80% chance of Alzheimer's or the 50, or sorry, five conditions I had. It's more like, if you are not doing well in a certain detox pathway and you happen to breathe the exact thing in that you can't detoxify, it's going to cause inflammation, right? If you are a woman who is slow in the CYP19A1 gene pathway and you don't convert enough testosterone into estrogen, you may not have the protective estrogen you need for your bone health, right? So one simple example. So all of a sudden I started to see it wasn't about the genes and it wasn't about the disease. It was about the jobs that our body does paired with the habits, epigenetics, environment, nutrition, lifestyle. With our genes, we can prioritize, here's where I need to focus because this job is not happening. That then leads me to remove this stuff from my life and add this stuff to my life. I now can make chronic disease a choice. So that was the rabbit hole I went down. It took a few years and it took 7,000 people for me to research, and we're here now and this is available to everybody.
That's amazing. Can we lay out some of the foundational elements that you're going to be talking about, like genes, DNA, epigenetics, some of those pieces, so that everybody is on an understanding as we go through and have this conversation?
Yeah, I would say that. So what I learned, the more I started to look at chronic conditions, and just, you know, the research we did was we understood there was already enough information about genetics. There was enough scientists out there telling us what each gene does. But the body doesn't work that way. The body isn't a bunch of independent genes. There's systems and processes. We already know the hormone cascade and the neurochemical pathways. They exist already. We don't need to reinvent them. The clinicians also didn't understand the genetics. So you have these geneticists over here with highfalutin science and these doctors over here that said this stuff is too complicated and doesn't work. And there was nothing in the middle bridging it. So being an outsider, I saw that we needed a new research model, which was somebody has to sit there with patients and implement this stuff. So we spent 3 years with 7,000 people, one by one by one by one, genome in hand, healthcare history in hand, what medications they're on, what habits do they have, how many days a week do they exercise, all of that stuff, to now understand how to take it from probability to certainty, from you got an 80% chance of Alzheimer's to why did 20% not get it? I'd rather know that, right? With the exact same genetic code, 20% aren't going to get it. What are they doing right that I need to learn as opposed to scare me with the 80%, right? So that's the kind of stuff we started to learn, started documented. And it came down to six core systems and then one that we reinterpreted. Six core systems that if you resolve all of this, it's very, very difficult to have a chronic disease and you're going to age very slowly. And those six systems are mood and behavior, everything about the brain. So how do you make neurochemicals? How do you clear them? How do you bind them? If I have your DNA and I've never spoken to you in my life, I can explain your personality to a T. I can describe you better than you can describe yourself because your genes don't lie, right? Everything about metabolic health. How do you metabolize macro and micronutrients? Should you be a vegan? Should you be on a keto diet? Do carbs matter to you? All of that stuff. Then everything about innate immunity of the cell. So how does my body deal with environmental toxins and airborne and sort of food toxins, mitochondrial health? So everything around the actual immunity and health of the cell. Then sleep. We all know, you talk to anyone on any podcast and ask them, hey, what do you want? What's the one hack you're going to tell everybody? It's always sleep, right? We need to sleep better. But what does that mean? It's not the same for all of us. And we learned that genetically. There's two more big ones. Then we learned everything around chronic diseases. So diabetes, cardiovascular, et cetera, the big killers, right? There's 15 big ones. Why do they happen? So that we can teach that to somebody so they have better, good habits. And the last one, which I would say is the biggest aha moment for us, When we studied these 7,000 people, they were half men, half women. And of those, the people that needed the most support were always women with hormone conditions. The gap between my doctors telling me you're supposed to have problems, it's your hormones, good luck. That's the reality that the answer, like a woman, that's what they get today, versus if you look at it genetically, it's so black and white and obvious. The instructions that are telling your hormones what volume of hormones to make, how to clear them, what quality are they, what direction are you going, more androgenized, more estrogenized. It's all very clear in the genetic map. That's where I think we had the biggest impact. And so all this happened, and I mentioned there was a seven. So we reinterpreted all this stuff for the context of longevity, because that's what people need and want. So six systems, one additional layer of context, which is longevity. And with this, it's very, very difficult to be sick. It's very, very difficult to live the American dream of having your first chronic disease by 55 and your second by 65, and you last 15 years of your life in treatment. That's the kind of average right now. You should be 100 years old, riding your bicycle, playing with your grandchildren. Nothing should change. You should jump out of an airplane and die because you forgot to open your parachute. It should be a great story like that, right? And all of what I said is also true for bone health, and we can dive deep into that.
Please, let's dive into that, because I think this is really relevant for our audience. Most people have osteopenia, osteoporosis, and they want to understand, like, what is the link between our genetics and our bone health and osteoporosis? Are there certain genes we should be looking at and understanding better?
So then, there's this gray area of like, okay, why me? Why did this happen to me? Even in my family, my sister didn't get it, I got it. Why me? So step one is genetics. Here's the jobs your body doesn't do well. And then step two is epigenetics. Here's the environment, nutrition, lifestyle choices I made. So even if the two sisters have the same genes, one of them may have had different habits. One had habits was aligned to the genome, and one that was not aligned, and that's the one that got sick. So how does that relate to bone health? The vitamin D pathway is very complex. So unlike all other micronutrients, vitamin C, vitamin A, that has a single gene that metabolizes it into the form that you need so you can use it, vitamin D has three. And the reason for this is because too much vitamin D is toxic. And we now are genetically designed for our ancestors' habits, but we don't live like our ancestors. So the genetic legacy that we've inherited, here's your genome, child, good luck with this world, assumes that we're still cavemen. It's not even about grandma and grandpa. Our DNA is 200,000 years old. It hasn't changed in that much time. And in that much time, how much of that 200,000 years did we spend the way we spend now? Right? The last few generations, maybe. It was agricultural up until then. So we are designed to mitigate vitamin D, to slow down and stop the usage of it, not to use it. And we have lifestyles that do not provide us that overdose of sunlight and 8 hours in the sun. So there's three genes. There's one gene that takes the active D2 from the sun and converts it into D3 and puts it in the blood. You, by the way, are not doing well there, right? So
We're going to
just
get
a
into
sneak
this later. We will get into
peek.
my actual DNA very soon.
Yeah, we're gonna expose you like you've never been exposed
Let's
before.
do it.
Then step two, once it's in the blood, I've done that first job of converting it into D3. I now need to actually transport it to the cell. There's these little taxi cabs that carry the vitamin D to the cell where you actually need it. Once you get it to the cell, you need to bind it. There's a third gene that does the job of binding it and getting it into the cell. So when you have the generalized one size fits all answer of take some vitamin D, what is the right dose for me? And what frequency? Because I could go tell you, go take 10,000 IU of vitamin D. It's going to be good for your bones. Well, what if I don't transport and bind well? I don't use it fast enough for that 10,000 IU to be useful. I might need three doses a day of 2,000 each. So we can be highly personalized on how much and how often based on what context your body's designed for. So that's a big one. And we've seen bone health issues reverse through this, right? The other one is everything around hormones, specifically in women. So there's so much variability in the hormone cascade. Whether you're a man or a woman, we do the same thing. Progesterone turns into testosterone, turns into estrogen. Now, in that cascade, there's different valves that can be turned on or off, and you can do certain jobs slower or faster. You can make different types of testosterone, different types of estrogen. And once you start to understand that map, the big, big red flag that stands out, at least in the work we've done, is we have here today listening to us, women that are mature, that are at the age of bone health issues, who are likely being told, take some hormone replacement therapy, right? And I'm not saying that's a yes or no, good or bad. I'm saying if you don't personalize, very high chance you're going to get it wrong and make yourself more sick. So let me give you an example of that. You may have the woman that does a really good job of converting progesterone into testosterone. We can predict that genetically. And then she highly efficiently converts testosterone into estrogen. So if I give her estradiol, it's a form of BHRT, and she has that fast conversion, she's going to make a lot more estrogen, more than we would assume, because she just genetically does that job really well. So that's called estrogen dominance. We haven't yet hit a problem. The problem is, when you make estrogen, there's three metabolites, 2, 4, and 16 hydroxyestrogen. These are the three. 2 is the good, clean stuff you want. 4 and 16 are toxic. And a lot of women make these two. So if I give you more estrogen and you make the 4 hydroxy, you now are netting more 4 hydroxy, which means inflammation. You are making a toxin. And if you're trying to recover from loss of bone density, and you're triggering the rest of the terrain to be under fire, how is your body going to be in a state of recovery, right? So it's not just, you can't isolate, fix my bones. You have to think head to toe and resolve everything holistically. Like, the body has to be ready to recover. Whatever you recommend, and I'm sure there's so many great things you can bring to your community, the body has to be ready to receive that, right? Which means eliminating all insults, not just the bone health issue. So we see this very, very commonly as women sort of mature, especially in the menopause age. You're taking hormones and your practitioner, no fault of their own, they aren't trained on this, get it wrong. And it actually makes you sick. We have some women that don't convert into estrogen efficiently, and they make what's called DHT, dihydrotestosterone, the potent manly man version. When you see an NBA player with every rip muscle showing, that's DHT. Now, try giving a woman more hormones that she's converting into DHT. She's going to start to lose her hair. She's going to get ovarian cysts. You know, there's a whole other set of problems that happen. So we can get really personal around the things that you're doing. And then another big one, I would say, is everything around the gut. Again, when you're dealing with a problem as significant as how do I get my bones back to the way they used to be, you can't isolate that. And a big cofactor is the gut. Because if you're not even able to absorb all the beautiful nutrients that you recommend to people, like there's amazing things that you know of that people end up taking, is the gut even ready to receive that? Do you even metabolize it and take it into where it needs to be, into the cell? So there's a gene called GSTM1. And that was one of my kryptonites, let's say, right? I don't even have the gene, I'm missing it. And this is something called a copy number variation, meaning how many copies of the gene do I have? It's possible to actually be missing entirely the gene as opposed to just a variant, you know, or a mutation. And this gene is protective of toxins entering the gut lining. So glutathione is this powerful detox chemical that your liver will use to, you know, clear toxins from the blood. It's also used in your gut. And GSTM1 is a gene that determines how efficiently you do this. A lot of us are walking around, like myself, missing this gene entirely. And so if you're trying to take your supplements and your foods and all the recommendations, but your gut is in a completely dysbiotic state, and you may not even know, it might not even be symptomatic, right? You can't receive the nutrition that is trying to be delivered. So all of what I'm saying, if you get the general theme, is let's get the terrain healthy. Right? Head to toe. Let's get your body in the state where it's ready to heal. If it's struggling with everything else, how is it going to work on something as significant as bone health? Right? And so, and there's many more examples I can give you, but just trying to paint the picture, right?
Yeah, those are all great examples. And maybe we can talk about too, what are the main lifestyle factors that are impacting our genetics?
Yeah. So the current reality of sedentary life, which I'm sure you talk about, right? Our body will respond to the stress that we offer it. So our mitochondria, as we age, deplete significantly. In fact, from the age of 50 to 70, you're likely to lose 70% of your mitochondria. So not only shrinking in size, but just gone. That's what gives your cell its resilience. That's what gives your cell its energy. And energy is not just about, do I feel ready to stand up and run? It's also about your body's ability to fight and deal with viruses, you know, and recover and develop new cells. We make 3 to 4 million cells every day. How well do you do that, right? So if you, again, if you don't focus on that way of thinking, the cell is not going to be ready to provide you the recovery you want, right? And so, yeah, so I would say mitochondrial function is one of these key areas where it may not be the direct, you know, pointing to bone health, but if you're not doing well there, don't expect bone health to do well because the entire body's sort of suffering, right?
Understood. Yeah. And then I guess for maybe we could talk about too, like what are the key factors that would turn on and off genes the most?
Yeah. So I would say when it comes to the hormone cascade we were talking about, we actually spent a lot of time with these 7,000 people working with supplementation to look at gene expression. And we now know that if you have, say, for example, too much estrogen, you're estrogen dominant, you don't need to take hormones. You can actually take certain supplements that slow the genes down. They manage the gene expression. So gene expression means I have version A of the gene, the fast version. But if I eat this food, it actually slows it down. Or it could even speed it up, depending on what food at what dose. So managing gene expression is an easy way to kind of bring yourself to that homeostatic middle ground where you want to be. Here's what how I want my body to function, even though it doesn't function that way. So that's a big part of it. And there's three buckets: environment, nutrition, and lifestyle. Those are the three epigenetic buckets. These are the habits and choices you have to make in everything you do. Nutrition is the easiest. You're going to eat anyway, so you might as well eat aligned to your genome. If you decide to be a vegan, pick that diet after looking at your DNA first, because if you don't, you could get very sick. It could be amazing. It could be the worst decision of your life, right? So nutrition is an easy one. Lifestyle is the second easiest, I should say, which is how do I exercise? How do I sleep? You know, how do I manage my stress? What do my relationships look like? So how do I align everything I do to the way my body operates genetically? The tricky one that we don't think about enough, which has a significant impact today more than ever before, is our environment. So our bodies, our genes are constantly expressing. So the same mitochondria we talked about that we need to manage to stay healthy is also communicating to our cells. So it's in the cell, constantly red flagging whatever's going on, whether it's a smell, a sound, a fear, whatever, to tell the body what level of response do we need right now. What am I supposed to be doing right now? Am I being chased by a tiger or am I smelling a pretty flower? Where am I supposed to be right now? And if you're in today's 2023 reality, where you can't step outside without breathing Roundup and glyphosates, you can't go golfing without taking in a whole bunch of chemicals, you can't go to your office without breathing in the cleaning chemicals and having foaming soap on your hands and all that. The chemical burden is much greater than it's ever been, and we are not genetically designed for it. So of the three epigenetic inputs, nutrition, lifestyle, and environment, environment is usually where people need the most help, and usually it's completely out of their awareness. And that's that thing that, oh, wow, I have a sense of relief. I didn't know how sick this was making me, right? It's a big one for gene expression.
But I'm sure there are a lot of other things that people can do to protect themselves, to make sure that they're not actually being exposed to.
Yeah, there's two big dials to turn. One is to remove the exposure, you know, and you can, again, prioritize using your genetics, which is the biggest threat to me. You know, is it inhalation based? Is it my gut? Is it my anti-inflammatory? So you can try and figure out, here's my big red flag. So remove it. The second thing is supplement. You can remove some stuff, then you can also add some stuff that helps your body do the job that it doesn't innately do. So like me, I'm missing this key detox gene of my gut. So I have to remove certain foods and packaging and colorings and things that other people don't have to think about or I don't feel right. But I can also add supplementation that helps me with glutathione, that helps me build my gut lining, that helps me with digestive enzymes, so that I can kind of feel like a normal person in this regard, right? So those are the two dials you have to turn. Find out what's wrong genetically. Here's a job my body doesn't do well. Remove the threats and add supplementation of various sorts to help me do the job better.
Understood. So in terms of DNA testing, right? So somebody's listening to this and they're like, okay, this sounds helpful. What are the things that might be uncovered through DNA testing? And maybe what are some common misconceptions that people have about DNA testing that they might come across?
Well, the first thing we said about genetics is about genes, and our genes are not our destiny. That is all true. But that's also based in geneticists getting it wrong in terms of how do you actually interpret this stuff, right? It was not about what does each gene do. And that's a big problem. Most genetic tests still do that. Here's your report. You have this version of this gene. It means your ear is connected to your head. I already knew that, right? And when you ask them about breast cancer and cardiovascular disease and diabetes, they're like, well, that's not genetic. What's genetic, take diabetes, for example, is your insulin response, is your ability to metabolize starches. You know, all of the things that lead to the diabetes, there's no direct switch you can turn on that equals diabetes, but there's years and years of habits, chronic disease, they take time to develop. So that's one big one, is just understand that the same difference between medicine is my doctor's going to tell me what my disease is called and what pill to take. And functional medicine is my doctor's going to figure out why I got sick and make sure I never get sick again, like the root cause. Same thing, genetics is a disease-centric, this gene equals this disease. And functional genomics, which is what we practice, is what biological pathway leads to this job that leads to the disease. So I know what to action. So that's a big one. The second one is everything around privacy. It's a real concern. And why do I bring this up? Because the genetic testing business is not the best business to be in because your DNA never changes. So you come to me for a test, we're done. The end of the relationship, right? Because your DNA is for life. And so all these genetic testing companies became data selling companies because they didn't know how to make money. So now the big problem with that, there's obviously an ethical problem there, but the bigger problem for the consumer is the test is not designed for you. It's designed for the buyer of the data. The buyer of the data says, okay, they'll pay you $500 for a test. I'll pay you $5,000 if you let me buy that sample. And so it has to be designed in the way they want, which is a mass collection of data as opposed to a curated, you know, highly refined and well-tested grouping of genes. Because the more you add, the less accurate it becomes, right? So we learned early that this was actually our opportunity. If we become the company that does not sell data, that does not ever mine it, and, you know, it's all aggregated, anonymized, and, you know, the samples get destroyed. We don't even keep them or sell them. So that forced us to become the insight company. Let me tell you about yourself so that you want to stay working with me clinically, right? And you can see that I can actually help you. That's another big one. I would say the last big one is these products, most lab tests, functional lab tests, are really hard to use. If I get a report, whether it's a GI map, gut bacteria test, or some, you know, oats test or organic acid or hormones, whatever, you cannot make two cents of what those documents are saying. And most functional medicine doctors are relying on their interpretation from some short training, which maybe doesn't deliver the full value that's in that document. So we realized this early, me being a layman looking from the outside saying, how did I wish this looked like if it was my dream product? And so we designed it in a way that's easy to use. It looks like Netflix. It doesn't look like a report. It's a portal. In fact, we can show you. I have your report open. So it's a digital portal that you log into, and you can click on things that you understand, like anxiety, depression, vitamin D, estrogen. Like, I don't need to know what version of the DRD2 gene I have, right? I need to know whether when I drink too much, is it because of something going on neurochemically, or am I just around the wrong people? Like, what's my right choice here? What do I need to change, right? So that's the context we speak in, just to make it easy to use. And now I would argue that you don't need anyone's help. You go in and do it yourself.
And me being somebody who's actually done the test and been in the portal and seen, it's very user-friendly. It's so easy to use and understand. And Kashif, we are going to expose my DNA right now. We're going to jump into this. And Kashif is going to walk through each of these points in my DNA. And you're going to be able to see, like, these are the kind of reports you get. This is the kind of information you'll get, you know, if you do this kind of test through the DNA company. So, Kashif, if you want to share, so we have listeners on the podcast. We also have people that are on YouTube that are going to actually watch as we do a screen share here. And I'd love if you could walk through each of, you know, these points in my own personal DNA and just, you know, walk through what am I really doing great in? What am I not doing great in? And we could just show people an example.
So I was in your cardiovascular report. I'm going to open your mood and behavior report. And we always start there because we find that it's very hard to heal if you don't understand how you think, you know, how you perceive. And so how does somebody like yourself, like a coach, perceive the person? People don't know how they're perceived, how they behave. They think they're perfect. Everybody thinks they're perfect, right? And we also, as coaches, healthcare practitioners, don't understand how the patient is perceiving things. So this becomes a huge thing. So for example, your serotonin is dysregulated. Your serotonin is your mood regulator. So it allows you to respond as appropriate for whatever is going on, whether happy, sad, angry, whatever. Are you equally responding as per this incoming stimulus? You have a challenge doing that. So in your work, it's a superpower. This is why you're so good at what you do. You're here talking to me and you're here helping your community. You're able to do that because you see the things that other people don't see. You catch the details that other people don't catch. But in the context of you experiencing your pain and problems, if you were a patient, you would overdo that. You would read into it too much. And that in itself would help you manifest the problems that you're trying to get rid of. Right? So that one single thing could be the thing that makes you stuck. Down here, we see BDNF. BDNF is brain-derived neurotrophic factor. Your brain's ability to develop neural pathways. And you do this really efficiently. So you do a good job of learning new skills, of you know, multitasking, let's say that, you know, wearing well. You can be here on this podcast. You can also go write a book about it. You can also do the accounting at night, right? Some people are like, this is what I do, right? That's not you. But you have this gene called TPH. And by the way, everything that I'm saying here is in the reports. I'm just kind of interpreting it from this page, right? I'll show you the report as I'm talking. So there's in this brain section, there's all these reports like addiction, ADHD, anxiety. So they would be laid out there, right? So what you do is you're more likely to, you do a good job of neuroplasticity, but that TPH gene is turning the BDNF gene off in terms of your mood. So what's happening there is things mean a lot. So that meaning allows you, now you're seeing things at this high level of detail. You're diving in deep because of your serotonin dysregulation. And I'm speaking in the context of work. And you're also seeing things with a lot of meaning, right? So that leads to exactly like, look who's sitting here, bone coach, right? This guy who sees the things you didn't see, who's going to teach you the things you need to know that you couldn't find on your own and really cares, gives things a lot of meaning, right? So, and there's other neurochemicals there. We can keep painting the picture and describing who you are. And then you start to understand who you are. Now imagine this as a patient. If somebody was stuck with trauma or with pain, there's actually a PTSD gene in there, by the way, right? So somebody that's suffering from this trauma of, I don't even want to talk to my doctor because every time I do, it hurts because they're the one that gave me the bad news. So just even understanding that and knowing what supplement to take or what food to eat, right? And all of a sudden that problem being a functional thing as opposed to a problematic thing. So now the one thing we mentioned is your micronutrients. I've gone into the diet report now. You don't do a good job with vitamin D. The cascade that we described, you're not doing well with the conversion. You're doing okay with the transport, but you're not doing well with the binding. So you are that person that needs more and you need multiple doses. The regular recommended dose doesn't do much for you. And look at your zinc metabolism. It's the worst possible. Zinc is such an important micronutrient for every biological function. Right. And this is why we call it out. It's so important. When you buy a bottle of zinc, normally it tells you to take 5 milligrams a day. That's a typical recommendation. You need 14. You need almost triple the daily recommendation. And what are we talking about here? Cancer prevention, brain health, cardiovascular health, all the big stuff. Right. So now I'm going to jump over to your immunity profile. This is where we find, I'll look at it in the cardiovascular profile, they're actually connected. This is where we find a lot of major, major problems get solved, where people kind of, again, are stuck, right? And really don't know why they can't fix themselves. Now look at this, GSTM1. Just like me, you are missing the gene. You don't have the gut detox gene. So now when you go out with your friends and like, well, I eat healthy, so I'm going to have the hummus, right? Well, guess what? The chickpeas were dried with chemicals so that they could transport them faster. And the other people around the table don't notice, you get bloated and can't eat dinner, right? And now do that day after day after day. It's going to equal IBS. It's going to equal leaky gut. It's going to equal Crohn's, colitis. Where do these problems come from? They come from somebody's inability to sort of maintain their gut health. You also have horrible inhalation genetics. So your ability, so you, if you walk into, say, a factory or smell a perfume or a chemical, you're likely to feel a little off, brain fog, joint pain even, right? Because there's an instant inflammatory response for you. Your lungs don't do the job, the worst possible, minus 70% capacity to prevent airborne toxins from entering the bloodstream. So now this is a perfect example of when we said, 80% chance of Alzheimer's, good luck, that's genetics. Why? Let's get into the why. Here's a why. 66% of today's Alzheimer's is inhalation based, is based on what we're breathing. Because the air is so toxic and the pesticides are so prolific and our genes, like yourself, aren't aligned to blocking them, that this is what's causing the inflammation. First of all, we're living longer, so our brains are just exposed for longer. And then we are around things that we can't filter. So over time, that leads to cognitive decline. This combination speaks to your, and again, everything that I'm saying here is in the reports. I'm just looking at the gene data because I know what it means already, but you can self-serve in the actual reports. So your mitochondrial function isn't the best. Your ability to deal with hydrogen peroxide and mitochondrial function are not aligned. These should all be the same letters here. And so when it comes to recovery, when it comes to maybe slowing down your aging, might be a little challenging if you have the wrong habits. You should not be on a treadmill every day. You should be weight resistance training. In fact, if you run a marathon the next day, you're probably done. Right? Like that cardiovascular output, you can't handle the oxidative stress well because the mitochondria doesn't recover quickly enough. It's not efficient in its ability. So what's actually going on? Here's your cell. Here's the mitochondria inside the cell. Your cells are constantly taking in oxygen and nutrition to create energy. And in that process of burning oxygen as a fuel, you make an oxidant. An oxidant is a free radical, a toxin, which is highly inflammatory. And this gene is supposed to help you get rid of that. You don't do that. So it's sitting in the cell like this fireplace that has no chimney with a soot piling up and choking the cell and aging it, right? So now based on your choices, this is why you see these this phenomenon of like 30-year-old sprinters and soccer players that just drop dead on the field because they've compressed 80 years of cardiovascular activity into 30 and they have bad mitochondrial function and they may have bad, what you have here, 9P21, which I'm going to get into, which then equals cardiovascular disease. Why? 9P21 determines, here's your heart, around it are the arteries. Your artery looks like this. It's a tube. The inside of the artery is called the endothelium, the inner lining of the blood vessel. We can predict with this gene what quality of endothelium you have. Stainless steel, robust, paper thin. You're like light duty plastic, right? You're not quite paid the worst, but you're nowhere near the best, right? So yes, prone to inflammation. Now that we know that there's a reason why there would be inflammatory insults in the blood. You're breathing them, you're eating them, your mitochondria is creating them, and you have this bad quality hardware that's prone to inflammation, you're probably going to get endothelium inflammation if you don't have perfect habits, right? And now if you have endothelium inflammation, your body will actually use cholesterol as a hormone to reduce the inflammation. That's why people get cholesterol disease. It's not the cholesterol is not the disease. Cholesterol is your body trying to heal. But when the cholesterol meets the toxicity from the free radicals, it actually hardens and then starts to build up. And then eventually you get prescribed a pill, a statin, right? So for you, this is a likely scenario if you live the average American lifestyle. We know you don't, right? But two people with the exact same habits, you're just going to get sick a lot faster, right? So it becomes even more important for you to not do that. Nitric oxide delivery for you is also off. So this key thing, this key contributor to support poor cardiovascular function, you're also not doing well. And it's very hard to get nitric oxide from our foods now. So you should be supplementing. You very specifically need to be supplementing nitric oxide, right? A good product, there's a few out there we can recommend, but you need to be doing it. Your insulin response is noted here. Let me just take a look here. Your fat, so you're like myself. You would not do well in a keto diet. Right? The first few weeks, you'll feel great. Everybody does. You get into ketosis, you start burning fat as fuel, it feels good. Your brain starts using ketones and you feel cognitively like you're on fire. Then 5, 6, 7 weeks in it, you start to get sluggish. You start to feel a little like, what's going on here? I don't feel the same. You don't blame it on the keto diet because you felt so good in the beginning. So for you, suppose you wanted to go carnivore or keto, you would cycle on and off. You can use carnivore as a therapeutic meal plan, but you would cycle on and off. You don't maintain it. Some people can just do it forever and they'll be fine. And they have podcasts and YouTube shows and they sing from the rooftops. This is the only thing that works because it worked for them. But if you did it, you would get sick after a year, right? So another example of how we can get really personal. Now go back to another area.
And maybe if you could even touch, like, this is a big thing for everybody listening and everybody watching. This is a big thing right here. We're talking about personalization for eating right for your body also. And when you hear people just say, everybody should eat this specific way or these specific foods, this is the only way, it's not. And what Kashif is talking about right now is exactly why. And maybe are there other pieces in the nutrition section relating to fats and carbs and things like that that we can touch on real quick?
So your starch metabolic pathway is not the best. It's not horrible. It's not the best. You do not do well as a vegan. So the enzymes that are required to break down chickpeas, lentils, all the key protein sources, all the beans and all those types of foods, you have the worst possible ability to make the enzymes to use those foods. And so just like many other vegans, you'd start off feeling good because it's light and clean. And then over time, you'd have hormone disruption, sleep disruption, mood issues. It would make you feel horrible, right? The other thing is the micronutrients. So vitamin C, I think you were doing well, which is important because now your mitochondria isn't functioning the best, and which means oxidation. Vitamin C is an antioxidant. So now you know you should be focusing on that tool. You should be heavy dosing vitamin C daily to make up for. And that's why I said there's two dials you can turn. Get rid of the problem or add something that supports the job that your body doesn't do well. That's a perfect example. My mitochondrial function is bad. Now let's put that in the middle. I need to remove cardiovascular activity, oxidative stress, and bad sleep. I need to add vitamin C and some mitochondrial mitophagy type exercises like breath holding, sauna, these types of things, right? Now, all of a sudden, this bad news isn't bad anymore. You've managed it. And we've identified this thing would have been the root cause of a lot of problems as you aged, right? So now we're looking at the hormone pathway, and you have this unique profile where you're co-dominant. You're androgen dominant and estrogen dominant. So you're like this chimera, schizophrenic hormone profile, you know? So what you're doing is you make a lot of testosterone, step one. Your conversion of progesterone to testosterone is a little fast. You're really efficient at binding. So your ability to actually use, there's receptors that actually receive the testosterone and allow you to use it. And you have the maximum density receptors. So it's very easy for you to use if you choose to. But then at a medium pace, you convert into estrogen. So what does this mean? You have it a use it or lose it type profile, meaning if you train every day, if you do your stretching and activate your androgen receptors, you're likely going to have nice muscle tone and good strength and, you know, a manly chiseled jawline, all that type of stuff. If you don't do that stuff and you don't use your androgens, you have this ability to quickly convert them into estrogens. And you're going to become more estrogenized, which means less muscle tone, more fat storage, rounder, more voluptuous type features, and mood is going to change. Less warrior, more worrier. Right? And you now are one of these unique individuals that can choose to lean in either direction. Depends on your habits. Some people can't. They're estrogen dominant, other androgen dominant. Just now, to what degree, based on my habit, you can go in either direction, right? You also make a medium amount of DHT, and you clear it somewhat healthy. So you make enough of DHT to, again, see your six pack if you choose to, right? And to see your, you know, rippled muscles in your legs, but not enough to cause prostate issues and hair follicle death and things like that. So there's degrees to all of these things. And there's an amount that's good that we want. And there's an amount that starts to become toxic. And this is true of anything in the hormone cascade. So that's why it's very important to highly personalize. It's not as simple as men are testosterone, women are estrogen. There's way more going on there than that. And even within that, the degree and the quality and the clearance, there's so many factors to think about. So that's what your hormone profile looks like. Now, if you are a woman, there's a big red flag right here, CYP1B1. This gene takes all of your estrogen and converts it into 4-hydroxyestrogen. This gene does the 2-hydroxy, this gene does the 16. So this one and this one are both slow. So you're not doing a good job of converting it to 2 or 16, and you're doing the best possible job of converting it to 4, which means it's like a landslide. It's all going into that bucket. So if you are a woman, we would start talking about breast cancer, ovarian cancer, fibromyalgia, crazy rocky menopause, and of course, bone health, right? So now, because you're a man, the degree of estrogenization is a lot less, but it's still a threat. It's still problematic. And this could lead to things like testicular cancer. Now, again, because you're not sitting on a couch and being estrogenized, you're a warrior and you're working in both in your mind and your body, you are more androgenized. So this, you've mitigated this, right? And you have to continue doing that. You have to continue riding your bike and pushing the heavy weights and doing things, right? So this is an area where female health is so much more complex. It's one of the first things I said, that was the area where we saw this aha moment that needed so much fixing, was everything around female hormone health. This simple cascade allows us to take all that gray area that women suffer from and make it highly precise. Everything becomes clear, right? All that gray area becomes clear, super clear. So that's how we look at hormones. And then of course there's reports within the hormone section which interpret this stuff. So fitness, recovery, hair health, skin, you know, cellulite. We can understand why some women have cellulite, some don't. Some, their skin gets wrinkly and aged. Some have cysts, acne, some don't. So all of these things we can, oh, by the way, we didn't get into this, but every micro report tells you about the genes, but also gives you recommendations. So here's some lifestyle recommendations. Here's some habits you should form. Here's some habits you should avoid. And here's some supplements you should take for this particular problem, not in general, but for this problem of skin health, right? Based on your genes, here's what you need. So that's how we try to make it super easy, right? Like, I can read this and understand it. I don't need a science background. I don't need a doctor to tell me what to do. In fact, most doctors don't know how to read this data anyway, right? So that's kind of how it all looks. And, you know, now we've kind of figured you out from the inside out.
And what are some other, let's see what the other ones are. So we've got mood and behavior. We've got diet and nutrition.
And then there's everything around sleep.
Sleep. Right? So maybe let's touch on sleep for a sec if we want to hop in there.
This gene, it's funny enough, called the clock gene, regulates your circadian rhythm, and yours is a little broken. So jet lag could be a bigger issue for you. If your day isn't highly structured and consistent, you're probably not falling asleep properly, right? You and blue light for you, you know, those things about, well, I can watch my laptop until I go to sleep. I don't have a problem. Or somebody else is like 1 hour before and they can't sleep at night. It's these two genes that make all the difference. So we're not the same. If your clock gene is broken, then that circadian rhythm interruption from the blue light is a bigger problem for you. For some people, it doesn't do anything, no problem, right? Then there's the vitamin D pathway. Because if we don't understand how you metabolize vitamin D, we can't also complete that conversation about your circadian rhythm and clock, because vitamin D is a big proponent of programming your clock. Our ancestors used to wake up and get sunlight and continue to get it during the day. And when it would get dark, the body started to know, oh, sleep time is coming soon. But we don't have that environment anymore. We're in the dark all day, and then the lights are on at night, right? It's a total opposite. So your ability to manage circadian rhythm is highly driven by vitamin D. Then we look at the brain chemicals to understand, how does pleasure affect your sleep? How does stress affect your sleep? Are you a binger? You just can't turn Netflix off. There's some people that we find genetically. So you have a slow clomped. You're one step away from being a binger, right? You're very close to it. You're that person where the way you experience pleasure is, the intensity is okay, but the duration is very long. It lasts a long time, which means you get stuck in the pleasure, which means it's very hard to watch one episode of Game of Thrones, right? And once it gets going, it could be 3 a.m. before you turn it off. Very, very difficult, because you get stuck in pleasure. It's hard to, it feels so good, it's hard to let it go. But that also means it's hard to get into pleasure, right? Your brain is satisfied already. You get it. It's not like you have not enough dopamine. You have enough. So it leads to this, like, depending on the context, I'm not interested, or I can't stop doing it, right? And that can affect your sleep. So serotonin can affect your sleep, because all of a sudden, that same function of, I can't prioritize stimulus and know what to focus on, that also happens in your sleep. Your body and your brain are meant to rely on the amber glow of fire to trigger melatonin binding. That's what the cavemen saw. Time to sleep, fire, right? Then the peachy glow of sunlight kind of piercing through your eyelid is what would trigger serotonin binding, which would wake you up. Melatonin put me to sleep, serotonin wake you up. So if your serotonin is dysregulated, your brain doesn't know what to wait for. It's responding to everything. Too hot, too cold, weird smell, somebody pulled on the blanket, somebody's foot is too cold. Like, everything is a problem in the second half of sleep, not the first half. When the body knows at some point I'm supposed to wake up, I just don't know what to respond to. So it's a very different problem to solve than, I can't sleep at night. That's a very general statement, right? What does that mean, I can't sleep? What is driving all of that? We can get very specific on, and then the solutions become very specific, right? On what to do there. These are metabolic genes in terms of, I can't experience satiety, satisfaction, right? So there's some people for whom the signal from the gut to the brain is too slow. And so when they're eating their food, it just, they've eaten their meal, the plate is empty, but they now need to go to the pot at the stove and keep going because they can't get full. There's some people for whom their palate can't get satisfied. And we find this disrupts sleep, because these are the people that are grazing at the pantry all night, cookie and then chips and then juice and then fruit, and then they need all that stuff to get satisfied. And then they put themselves into metabolic hell, and the insulin is spiking at a time it's not supposed to, and it disrupts their sleep. And it's perceived as real hunger, like a need. So we've learned how to hack it. If your brain, as a survival mechanism, is looking for all this variety, then just give it. After your meal is done, have a little piece of fruit, a piece of cheese, dark chocolate, a nut, crunchy, soupy, salty, sour, all the variety you can think of, and hack your brain into getting satisfied. Then you're not going to be scrambling at the pantry all night, right? So these are areas where we look at sleep. There's more. I mean, I can show you here. So the circadian rhythms, your internal clock, stress, environment, how the way you deal with chemicals and environmental insults may disrupt your sleep. Sleep is the time when you're recovering, right? So the first half of your sleep is when your body is getting rid of everything you took in the day before. So if you don't do a good job of that, you may have slept through the night, but you don't feel rested. Right? That's a whole other problem. People that wake up in the morning, like, I slept 8 hours, but I feel like crap. Yeah, because it may have to do with your detox pathways, where your body just isn't done. Like, it needs more time to get rid of the toxins. And so you need to supplement for that. You can't sleep 20 hours a day. It's not going to work, right? So you need to supplement for that. Then there's food, then there's pleasure. So now the last thing that I was saying is that we go through all these six systems, right? Cardiovascular, immunity, etc. And then we reinterpret that for the purpose of longevity. So in each of these reports, you're seeing new genes that resolve these issues. But in longevity, we've taken the same genes and made an additional report for the context of how do I add 10 healthy years to my life? Right? How do I live to 120? In a good, healthy 120, right? And it's like, let's pick at my genes and think of all the things that could be problematic. What do you need to know? Brain, cognitive health. I can't be 120 without great cognitive function. So what would be my problem? What are my threats? And we get into some of those things. Then we look at, and you can see how many things are just for the brain, right? All these genes from trauma to development, to stress. Then we look at body. If I'm 120, I want to have a healthy body. It has to be functional. So we look at your muscle and how do you retain muscle? How do you build muscle? How do you deal with hair, outward beauty and aging, right? Then we deal with graying hair and oxidation and hydrogen peroxide, how they may kill the color and the pigment in your skin, et cetera. And then we look at wrinkles and how oxidation may ruin your skin over time. So we also need to look the way we want to look, right? It's also important to give you the confidence and good health, mental health. Then there's cellulite. So these are all, again, same genes, bone health. Again, with the topic of the day. How do we take all of what we learn and interpret it for the context of optimal bone health? So there's a whole section just on that. Then we look at what we call biodefense, which is how does my body stay resilient? The next viral infection that might come along, what do we say? Well, the people that were hit the worst were the elderly. Well, why? Why can't I just be youthful and vibrant, right? You can. So that's what we're saying is this biodefense. Let's keep the systems firing well. Then there's FOXO3, which is an anti-aging gene. And you, by the way, have one superhuman copy. So this gene speaks to the processes of, eliminating dying and mutated cells and producing new cells, these 3 to 4 million cells we replace every single day. You do this at a superhuman speed. Very few people do. So you have one of two copies of the G allele, as we call it, which means that you're repairing and building almost as fast, if not faster, than you're killing the cells. So aging should be less of a concern for you. If you age poorly, you did something really wrong, right? Yeah, you should not be looking like a Rolling Stone. You should be, young and fresh. Then there's glutathione. These are key anti-inflammatory processes, methylation, anti-inflammatory process, phase 1 and 2 detox, antioxidation, health of the cell.
Let's touch on the methylation one real quick, if you don't mind.
Yeah, sure. So for you, there methylation, usually you hear about it as this MTHFR gene. That's what everyone talks about, MTHFR. I have the MTHFR gene. Everybody has the MTHFR gene. It's what version of it do you have? And it's not just that gene. That gene is a central starring character. Now, if you went and took a standard genetic test, you would have been told you have great methylation. And I'll explain what methylation is for those that don't know. But you would have been told you have great methylation because this is the gene that everybody looks at. This is the central star, but there's all these supporting characters because methylation isn't a single job. It's a process. Think about it as a chain. And the central core link happens to be great. But now look at the other links. You're having a problem here, problem here, problem here, right? So now all of a sudden we know, okay, you may be doing well with MTHFR and a functional medicine doctor is going to tell you good methylation, skip it. No, you don't deal with folic acid well. So you need folinic, which most people don't recommend. You don't deal with B12 well. So usually when you go to a store, and you buy B12, it's usually what's called methylcobalamin. That's the standard. Your genetics, these two genes around the enzymes required for that, you don't do a good job. So you need what's called adenosyl, a very specific version. And this is the key anti-inflammatory micronutrient. So if you're not taking this, all of this work you did to have the superhuman FOXO3 gene might get unraveled in this inflammation being a little too aggressive. Right, so there's one simple tweak of you need to take an adenosyl. And guess what? Not only do you need to take an adenosyl, but because of this gene, you need to take it sublingually under the tongue. So there's some people whose ancestors ate more beef, and they actually have the AA version of this gene where they absorb B12 in their gut. Some people had more sheep and lamb in their ancestry or poultry, and they have it under the tongue. It's a methylated B12 that comes through those animals, and so they absorb it differently, and that's what you have. Right. So now I can get very precise on, I have inflammation, I can't figure it out, I did everything right. Well, you did everything right for somebody else's body, not for yours. Right. So now to answer the question, what is methylation? It's two things. In a nutshell, it's phase two detox. So it takes toxins that are not water soluble and makes them water soluble. It's also a key anti-inflammatory system, so fighting inflammation. And the biggest thing it does is it manages your gene expression. So the earlier on, we said that your genes are constantly trying to respond to environmental cues. So whatever's going on, they're adjusting themselves to respond appropriately. And methylation is the function that turns those dials. So you may not respond appropriately. You might be able to shift gears as quickly. If you were in a, so for example, you had the bad lung detox. So if you walked into a factory and you started to breathe that stuff, you don't filter it right away, your methylation should kick in and start turning dials on your genes and helping you. But that also gets lagged and takes a little bit longer to kick in. So it's even more of a threat now. Right? So that's what methylation is. So that's, you know, most of what's in the reports. I should tell you that there's more knowledge than what I'm showing you. There's certain things that we're allowed to say to a consumer, certain things that we're not. Right. And so we do have coaching sessions and other things we can do with people to dive deeper. If it's like, hey, I have breast cancer, I need to work on it. Like, that's a serious concern. So we have clinicians that will work on that. The one last thing I'll show you is this GeneCast. So there's some people that want to geek out, right? And it goes far beyond, I want to know about anxiety, depression. Like, tell me about the genes, right? So we built this GeneCast. And what this does is it goes through each one of the genes and reads it to you. So the AI actually reads it to you like a scientist sitting there with you, and it speaks to the gene. It tells you this gene does this job, and it, you know, you have this version, so you behave like this, you might want to consider this. So as opposed to the reports being about the problems, the gene cast is about the genes. So it speaks to the genes. There's also a ton of video to help you understand how to apply this stuff. So that's what the portal looks like, you know, and based on that, we feel like we've made it really, really easy to use.
And you have. I mean,
Yeah.
just being somebody who has gone into this portal, looked around at everything that you've already just shared with me, Kashif. And I mean, it's easy to use. And really, it's just, can you maybe walk through the process of somebody actually getting the test? I'll tell them where they can get it just shortly after. And I know you were so kind to give a 10% off. So I want to make sure for our listeners, so I want to make sure that we get that to them. But before we do that, could you maybe just talk through how easy is the process? Because I went through it and it was super simple also.
Yeah, so once you order the test, so you're going to use this code, and yeah, don't go pay retail, don't go running to the website, where we'll make sure to honor you being here today and get you that discount, which you'll share with everybody. So you use that discount code, a kit gets shipped to you, and it's a simple saliva sample. So you're literally spitting into a test tube, and it's 5 milliliter of saliva, yay much, right? You close the lid. You're shipping it back. There's a return label included that tells you where it shipped. We then extract your DNA from the saliva and we sequence the DNA. So that means that we read it. We kind of read it to understand what version of what gene you have. You'll then get notified, log into your portal, access your portal. And at that point, you can literally go through the journey we just went through. If you feel that there's a clinical concern, like, my family, everybody has Alzheimer's and I don't want it. That's where we highly recommend you work with one of our coaches, anywhere from like a few weeks to many months. We have some people working with them to dive deep and build you a personalized plan. So the end of that would be, here's your personal human playbook on how to live to 120 with no chronic disease, with good health. That's possible for all of us. Chronic disease doesn't need to happen. If you aren't born with a problem, you don't have it, you develop it. And you shouldn't have to develop things if you always make the right choice.
I love that. It's so empowering. And that's something I hear from people all the time. When I ask people, why is this important to you? Why do you want to do something? Why are we having conversations about improving your bone health? And just about everybody talks about they want to live longer. I actually did have somebody even recently tell me they wanted to jump out of a plane at 100, which was interesting that you specifically said that, because I heard somebody say it. But not at, most people are saying things like, I want to ride horses, or I want to pick up my grandkids, or I don't just want to live longer. I want to still be active and do the things I love. And what you're talking about here, I think, is so important to that. So I just thank you so much for sharing it. Anything else that you think is important to share before we kind of close this out and tell people where to get their 10% off of this test?
No, I mean, I would tell you that we've done this. So we've done tens of thousands of tests, but the actual research was with 7,000 people. And I was there to see that. It went over 3 years. And I can tell you that as much as this may sound like a pipe dream to some people that have experienced illness, chronic disease is truly, truly, truly a choice. The pace at which you age is truly a choice. You cannot stop aging. But whether you live to 80 or 110 is a choice. The energy levels you have, the quality of sleep, your relationships, your libido, your hair density, all of these things that we think are innate outcomes of aging are a choice. We have people that are having alopecia and balding that are growing their hair. We have women that have had breast cancer twice that now understand why they have it and are never going to get it again, right? We have people that haven't had a libido in a decade that have very healthy relationships. So all of these things are a choice. You just need to know what drives them. And we don't know. We were never armed with this. We were told that medicine is to react. I can go do whatever I want, break my body, and it's a doctor's job to fix me. That's what we think medicine is. That's how you deal with acute care. That's not how you deal with chronic disease. Chronic disease shouldn't happen in the first place. So if I were to say anything, that's what I would say. I've witnessed this with 7,000 people, that it is a choice. You can decide how you age and how healthy you feel.
Love that. Words of empowerment. That's what I'm all about too. So Kashif, thank you so much. I mean, this was a fascinating interview. I'm sure people loved, I absolutely loved it. I'm sure other people loved getting my DNA being exposed and getting to that level of detail, which was pretty awesome. So if, for everybody listening, you can get 10% off of the DNA company test. You will go get this test and it is amazing. It's really easy. It's awesome. I personally used it and it's pretty awesome. So go to thednacompany.com/bonecoach. So thednacompany.com/bonecoach. And that's going to get you 10% off. You order the test, you spit in the tube, you get your results, you go to this portal. It's very easy. I absolutely love it. And Kashif, I just want to say thanks again for taking the time to share this with us.
A pleasure, man. This is awesome.
Yeah, this is great. So, and everybody listening, you can also find all of the resources, show notes, everything mentioned here today over at bonecoach.com/thednacompany, osteoporosis, genetics, and we'll see you in the next episode. Hope you found this episode of the Bone Coach Show helpful. You can find all the resources, show notes, everything mentioned over at bonecoach.com. If you enjoyed this episode and found it helpful, be sure to share it with someone you love, a friend, family member, even a group of people. And also be sure to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode that can help you improve your bones, your health, and your future. One last reminder, if you haven't done so already, head over to bonecoach.com. for more great resources to help you get on the path to stronger bones and an active future. I'm your Bone Coach, Kevin Ellis. I'll see you in the next episode.